This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Mega Bank in the making.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. The British bank Barclays is about to propose a merger. It's got its sights on ABN AMRO, the massive bank headquartered in the Netherlands. Our Stephen Beard is following the story, and I asked him what's attractive about the Dutch financial giant.
ABN AMRO is the Netherlands' biggest bank. It has interests all over the world. It's been the subject of takeover speculation because it hasn't been performing particularly well, and two hedge funds with a stake in the bank have been agitating for a shake-up or even a break-up. And as a result of this, it seems Barclays has stepped forward and said, we'll be the white knight.
What would Barclays get out of this? What's in it for them?
What appears to be the main interest, as far as Barclays is concerned, are interests in the US, in Brazil, and Asia. Barclays is a bank which has traditionally grown organically, but as a consequence, perhaps, it's found that its international interests are rather limited, and to get greater exposure to the rapidly growing Asian market, and also to get more US and South American exposure, buying ABN AMRO would be a pretty good route.
What's the likelihood they're going to go for this, Stephen?
Well, in the past, ABN AMRO has clung fairly stubbornly to its independence, but it has been weakened by this hedge fund activity stirring up discontent among shareholders. Also, I have to tell you this, Lisa, it has just very recently fallen victim to a most embarrassing heist. A robber got into an ABN AMRO armed not with a gun, but a box of chocolates. This smooth-talking thief posed as a wealthy businessman and over a period of some weeks charmed members of staff, lavished expensive chocolates on them, and they gave him the keys to the vault. And he got away with $30 million worth of diamonds.
And Barclays is still interested in this bank, given
that. Yeah, well, I'd be more interested in taking over the company that made the box of chocolates. They were clearly irresistible.
It would have worked for me, I know that's for sure. That's Marketplace's European Bureau Chief, Stephen Beard. On Wall Street, markets closed down on Friday. Today, we'll see how one of the stocks that took a dive of 25% will do. Menu Foods, ticker symbol MU, makes food for cats and dogs under close to 100 different brand names. A recall of some of the product has been announced after the deaths of 10 animals. The curtain rises in Denver today on a kind of a Rocky Mountain version of the Enron case. Former Quest Communications CEO Joseph Nocio is charged with insider trading. More from Marketplace's Steve Tripoli.
The trial revolves around the timing of some of Nocio's stock sales. Prosecutors allege those sales came after he got internal warnings of trouble. But other Quest executives have come away from similar trials with no jail time. Lynn Turner, a former chief accountant for the Securities and Exchange Commission, says the government botched those prosecutions.
I'm not sure that they're going to be able to do much better just because they got the top guy.
The financial cost to Quest has nevertheless been huge. Reporter Jeff Smith has been following the story for the Rocky Mountain News.
We tallied it up, and Quest has spent more than $1 billion defending itself and its former executives and directors.
Nocio's lawyers are expected to claim that he had sensitive information about future national security contracts and therefore thought the company would prosper. So he wasn't dumping stock ahead of a fall, they may argue, just diversifying his holdings. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Medtronic, offering information to learn about sudden cardiac arrest and available life-saving therapies at Medtronic.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
Now, here's a good excuse for you to kill some time online today. YouTube is creating a virtual red carpet. The video sharing website says it's holding its first ever Best Of Awards, and you have till Friday to vote for the best user-created videos. Hey, how'd you like to own your very own personal satellite? Well, later today, a company called SpaceX is launching a test rocket that might make that possible. Jeff Broomfield reports.
T-minus 3, 2, 1, we have ignition and liftoff of a Delta II rocket carrying Themis, NASA's revolutionary journey to study the northern lights.
When NASA launched its Themis satellite last month, it used Boeing's Delta II rocket, the Mercedes-Benz of spaceships. But at around $70 million a launch, only big companies and the government can afford it. That's the sound of the Falcon 1 rocket, built by SpaceX, a company run by erstwhile internet mogul Elon Musk. Sounds about the same to the untrained ear, but it's a lot cheaper, a tenth the cost of a Delta II.
It's very much the small satellite industry and the launch systems that Elon and SpaceX are looking to enable are really the same type of revolution that we saw in computers happening in the 80s and 90s.
Mark Sarangelo is CEO of SpaceDev, a company that plans on launching microsats aboard the Falcon 1. Agricultural companies could use them to monitor crops, or Google could launch a few to make a continuously updated version of its satellite maps. It's a bonanza for checking on everything from forest fires to traffic congestion. There's even an idea to track your pet via satellite.
It's a multi-billion dollar a year industry in the pet industry, and there are many people who would seek that kind of protection for their pets, or so I'm told.
But there's no guarantee that the Falcon 1's business will take off. In the past, rocket manufacturers have struggled to find clients, according to industry analyst Carissa Christensen.
We have seen a number of instances where we built them and no one came. There is an overabundance of manufacturing capability for large launch vehicles and satellites in the world right now.
But in the short term, the government may be there to help. The Pentagon is interested in quickly launching small satellites. In Washington, I'm Jeff Brumfield for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.